Welcome to the STFM podcast, brought to you by the Society of Teachers of Family Medicine. In this podcast, we speak to leaders in academic family medicine about a variety of leadership topics. And now your host, Dr. Saria Carter-Sikosia.
Hello and welcome to our STFM podcast sessions. Today, we're talking about competence-based medical education, CBME, and we have Dr. Linda Montgomery with us today. Welcome, Dr. Montgomery.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pleased to be here, Saria.
Yeah, we're going to have fun together today, just talking through some things of what you've learned, what you're seeing, and what's being done on the CBME front. So first, let's start off with you. Tell us a little bit about your role, your story as a family physician, and what inspires you in family medicine.
Great. Thank you. I have been a family medicine educator since I got out of training about over 20 years ago. I have worked in undergraduate medical education at the University of Florida and some graduate medical education, and then moved about 18 years ago to University of Colorado, where I joined the residency, and I was APD for a few years and then program director for 11 years. And now I'm the vice chair of education here at our Department of Family Medicine, where I oversee all of the undergraduate and graduate medical education in family medicine. I have been active in STFM over that time, and I was asked and honored to take up the role of being the chair of our CBME task force about 18 months ago. And I've been working to really increase the programming around CBME so that we really have the right stuff to go into this together.
Fantastic. And as a fellow Gator, if I didn't say go Gators at the beginning of our session today, then I would not be acting as a true Gator. So
right.
I went to medical school at University of Florida. So I'm so glad we've overlapped and why your name had been so familiar to me before our session. So welcome. And you see, wow, you've really, as an educator, traveled a journey of pure education. So that is great to hear and why I'm so glad you're the chair for CBME as we have this conversation. Now, I'm going to level set for our listeners here.
Yeah.
Some may be very familiar with CBME, and this may be new to folks. So first of all, we know it's an outcomes-based approach to the design, implementation, assessment, and evaluation of medical education programs using an organizing framework of competencies. This is how it's listed and what CBME is and does. And what we know is it's transforming, truly transforming medical education as we know it. For those of us who went to medical school quite some time ago and are training, and it's attracting the attention of faculty, preceptors, and our earliest learners as students and residents to know this will be their experience in residency and going forward. So your role is transformative. Now that can be, that can feel like a heavy lift as the chair, but we know we don't do this in a silo. It's new to all of us. So we are learning together. So can you share with the group how the CBME came to be and why this was taken on, you said 18 months ago, with the STFM? Tell us all about it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm up for this. Yeah. So how did it come to be? You might think it sounds so dry. It's that competency-based medical education. Why do we need that? We have 700, moving toward 800 programs that are producing great family physicians who have wonderful skills and serving their communities. So why in the world do we need to have this kind of sea change in the educational framework that we are involved with? And the answer comes, if you really look at it, if you pull back at the top of graduate medical education, the answer comes, we're not really serving societal needs as we need to. So that's like, seems like a big disconnect. We're going from like educational framework all the way up to meeting societal needs. But if you listen to the work of Tom Naska at the ACGME, if you listen to our own Warren Newton, you really see that we are not meeting societal needs. Health outcomes are worsening. Our health disparities are widening. Our life expectancy is going down. So even though we are doing an okay job, we need to be doing a much better job. So we need to look at the outcome we are producing. So we have to say, what is the outcome? What is that resident that we are sending out into the world for autonomous practice? Who is that person? And the competency-based medical education framework allows us to start with that end in mind, right? Outcomes equal end in mind. And so our family of family medicine has gotten together and really broken that down into those 12 core outcomes that I hope that everyone is starting to become acculturated to. Those 12 core outcomes that program directors will need to attest to at the end. In response, our ACGME has loosened the framework and made it much more flexible so that now, if you read through those regulations, those rules that program directors need to follow, it's a competency-based framework. Instead of having time-related training and numbers-related training mandates, programs have to attest to the competence in certain areas. They are allowed the flexibility to figure out what exposures, what experiences, and what assessments they will use to attest to the to that competence. And in that flexibility, they're able to really figure out how they will create the family medicine doctor who will really meet the needs of their patients and their communities. That is a big answer. There are many more sort of core tenets that I'm happy to discuss, but that's at its highest level, the why of CBME.
Wow, that is a whole lot to unpack.
Yes.
In a huge task. And it sounds like we are up for it. I was just listening to what you said about the sea change of educational framework. That can be overwhelming to some. And for some of us, it's exciting.
Yeah, I want to also say that two things. One is, we've been doing this for a while, right? Even though when I say it's a sea change, it is a continuum of what's been happening, right? So, you know, milestones came out, what, maybe 15 years ago or so? And we really, you know, it is a continuation. Milestones is a competency-based medical education framework. So we have been building those things into our evaluation systems. We've been thinking about where the gaps are in our educational programs by using the milestones framework. So I want to at least say, okay, everybody take a big breath and understand that this is a continuous thing that we are doing. And it really should flow from the milestones. And it should, you know, we're going to have to do more things like direct observations. You know, we will have to enhance our assessments that we're doing on residents and really think about the experiences to assure competence. So there is work to be done, but it is a continuous thing. And then also, I do want to say, yes, everyone, let's have patience. Let's give each other grace. As Warren Newton has reminded us, let's not have perfection be the enemy of the good, right? And let's also realize that this is a 5 to 10 year process. This is not something, you know, I think that it is scary for program directors having just stepped out of a program director role, but also having program directors who I talk to regularly. There is a bit, as you said, of overwhelm. And, you know, our governing bodies, our ACGME has and the ABFM have said, do the best you can do and let's get there together and let's not be punitive as we get there.
Yes. You do mention Dr. Warren Newton. Dr. Warren Newton is our CEO and president of the American Board of Family Medicine for our listeners. And something I hear him say often, and a phrase that he refers to, is lifelong learning. And that is our focus, not only for family medicine, we know as physicians, we are indeed lifelong learners. And what I'm hearing you say, Linda, is this is just the next step on our journey of lifelong learning and growth. This continuum will take us from outcomes to outcomes, is what I hear you say. And I think we could all agree with that. I think we can all agree that we are in a place in this country where we are not delivering the level of healthcare results and outcomes that a country that is rich in resources can do and will do in the future. In order for us to be successful in doing that, we must position our residents to be successful in this new brave world where technology can help us and assist. But it still comes back to that patient-physician relationship as we go forward. So now let's move the conversation to our next step on the call. As you mentioned the 12 core outcomes, I'd be curious to hear from you. What have you learned through this evolution, if you will? Like you said, we have already been on the continuum. This is the next step. Have you had aha moments? And what would excite you most about this step that we're taking with this CBME next outcomes to outcomes result?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So what have I learned and what excites me? Is that that's what I'm hearing? I have learned so many things. I thought I was a boss of medical education, having been, you know, 20 years teaching medical students and residents on a daily basis. But I have learned a couple of things. So I've learned that we aren't really currently making those lifelong learners through our educational systems, and that we can do a lot more to engage residents in their learning and make them really, you know, the phrase master adaptive learners. You know, I think that we presented them kind of the playbook of these are the rotations you need to do. We started to move, many programs moved toward having, you know, having residents set some goals. But this model really puts the learner in the center because it is flexible. And so it's really up to the program and the resident in partnership to get them competent in those 12 outcomes by the end. And it gives the ACGME has allowed that flexibility. The ABFM is asking us for those outcomes. We really need to work in concert with our learners. So at the core of this is that master adaptive learner tenet. And, you know, the ACGME now has required individualized learning plans for every discipline. Family medicine has lit it on fire with many, many, a more fleshed out description in our rules. And I think that we now have a framework to really work with residents so that they are looking at their gaps, being aware of their gaps, accepting their gaps, right? That's the thing, being open to, it's a really like increasing that feedback culture so that they are looking at their gaps, setting goals that are then tracked. I think we all know we've asked for goals. How successful have we been in tracking those goals? And then having them really co-create what their learning plan is going to be. Everyone will have a learning plan. And I think it will be, they will use it as they go into practice, right? Hopefully we are creating that culture such that the work will start in medical school. It will continue in residency. And then they become more master adaptive learners as they go out into practice, always trying to fulfill their core goals. So that is one thing I have learned and really accepted that it will be, we really have to get residents into that place where they are co-creators of their learning. So that's been a major shift for me in this process. I'm sure there are others, but that has, when you said that, I think that's that is definitely something that I have learned. I've also learned to have patience and to slow down a bit and to really try to break down what programs and educational leaders and residents and think at that granular level, what does each group need as we do this? And I am excited by getting residents more involved in their learning plans. I think that that is the big difference that I think we will look back on in 10 years and say, how did we ever do this in a different way?
This is so exciting. I am on the excitement bandwagon too. I feel like I need to pull out my popcorn and enjoy this experience. So having been a department chair of family medicine in the past, we need this now more than ever. And your experiences and other faculty who are building this, this is what I find exciting. When you think about, for the first time, instead of being prescriptive, we're entering the space of constructive experiential learning for folks. And there were some things that you said just a moment ago, I'd like to unpack a little bit more and then ask you, how are faculty even approaching this? But you're absolutely right that this next step is going to require a level of engagement from residents that we hadn't seen in the past. When I think about our traditional learning models, it was, here's the material, this is what you need to know, this is what a lecture looks like. And we know across this continuum, it's become much more experiential, much more personalized, but in a centric way. And this term, master adaptive learning, the master adaptive learner must continue to adapt, by definition in your statement here, to have the agility and to focus on what are their goals. We are teaching people how to truly create SMART goals, which is exciting to me. This is understanding and engaging and taking control of our learning. And that is a shift. And I think a shift that's been desperately needed. I love this CBME focus because it's reminding us, what are we actually teaching? And how are we engaging the learner at the center of what they do? This is fantastic with their individualized learning plans. So we have all this excitement. Yes, you've been an APD, a PD, so a program director, and now a vice chair of education, and you're working with all these people who are trying to figure it out. Where do they start? I mean, some of us probably will be very excited. There may be others that are somewhat hesitant. What do you say about that? How are faculty getting through this?
Yeah, I think we will find out very soon because I really see this spring as I've called it the CBME explosion. So a couple of things to know. Faculty start, I think, by going on the STFM toolkit. If you look on, so it's not just for STFM members, anyone can get onto this toolkit, but it is a great resource. So I don't even have to tell you the web address, just Google STFM CBME toolkit, and you will get into it. And there are many wonderful first step resources on the toolkit. You know, there are buttons, and if you look, you'll see, I would start with the one pagers. The one pagers have been written by members of our CBME task force, and they really do outline some very foundational, seminal topics, such as what is CBME, why now, what is a master adaptive learner, why are they important, what is coaching, what is how to increase feedback in your program. So please look at those one pagers. They are they're meant to be easy things that you can bring to your faculty meeting and just do in a few minutes. There's also, we have done a series and are in the process of doing a series of STFM webinars. The ones that have already been recorded, the recordings are up there. The list of other webinars that are going on for the rest of the year are there. They also can be used for faculty development. So our first one was with Warren Newton. It had 700 people at it. It was great. And then we've had ones on the concept of entrustment, ones on individualized learning plans, how to make them better. We're doing one on faculty development that's coming up. So there's just a series of about 13 of these. We add them as we go along. We have our resident member on our task force has worked on one that's specifically aimed at what residents need to know about competency-based medical education, and that will be presented. So there are some really good things on there to just get started. There are other much more wonky things for those of us who actually do, you know, create the assessments, such as we have to, as program directors, have to attest to 5 of those core outcomes for the next 3 years. And we have a listing up there of what assessments people can use in their programs to make sure that they can attest to those. Because residency directors are saying, how do I attest? I don't know how to attest. What tools could I use to attest to these outcomes? And so we've really tried to think of what questions are out there from program directors. Finally, I mean, there are many other things I could mention about the toolkit. Please explore it. But I will say we are going to be at RLS, our Residency Leadership Summit, and at STFM with our task force is doing many, you know, between the task force and other interested parties at those two places. I think there are well over 20, if not 30 talks that relate to CBME. So there's a listing there. If you're going to those conferences, please look that up, because I think, you know, there are going to be some very good basic talks about, you know, a primer for CBME and how do I do an individualized learning plan that really means something. So please look at the toolkit. It does have a lot of really good resources. So I think that's how I would say, how do you approach it? Oh, I forgot the second part.
I think you got the first part and the second part and the third part.
Okay.
This is, you know, to sum it up in a phrase, I would just tell our listeners, you are not alone. And yes. Why I love spring and the STFM. Spring has sprung and we are approaching the CBME explosion, in your words. So the flowers are blooming, CBME is blooming. And again, why I love the STFM is the support that we are giving all learners, whether you're a student, resident, faculty, a program director, vice chair of education, there is something for everyone in what you just shared. And you're right, just going to the website, the stfm.org, or Googling the CBME toolkit for STFM. Wow. And years ago, we would have called this an atlas. We don't use atlas anymore. We have Google Maps and all these other ways we get to where we're going. And playbooks. That was a term you used as well. Open the playbook. And do you remember those old books from years ago when we were kids with create your own adventure?
Yes.
You can create your own adventure, but you don't have to go alone. And I think that's really important, whether you're attending an STFM conference or you're going to the RLS, the resident leadership. This is exciting and so different than what I experienced years ago of, okay, here's the next step. This is what you have to do. We have learned over time that giving those examples, creating these toolkits will be incredibly helpful for folks coming forward. And I love that there is a resident who's doing a webinar, because you're right, this is not just for faculty to teach residents. We're focusing on resident-specific, learner-centric ability for master adaptive learning. So this is really exciting. I'm glad to hear this. And for folks who have not checked out that toolkit yet, I have no doubt as they're listening, they're already Googling to find out how to get to this. Even if they're not directly in residency program teaching, but maybe you're just a preceptor, this may be something they're interested in to better understand, to support this work and these core outcomes that we're expected to contribute to and create the next generation. So whether you have been a residency director, program director for years and years, and maybe this is intimidating to change up the game, or you're a brand new APD or program director, it's an opportunity to join with others, to network and learn from others what's happening. So that is exciting. Now I'm going to take the shift. I'm going to shift us to, and I keep mentioning students because students are checking out residency programs. They're looking at what's next. Where am I going to go where they will teach me outcomes to outcomes? Who is starting to figure this out, or who's got some best practices in the CBME space to lead them? And residents, we know, are actively learning now and they want to prepare for their board certification and how they can take best care of patients. So we turn these numbers around in our country. So where can students and residents go? What kind of questions should they be asking their professors and their faculty for their future education to, again, take control and manage and engage in this process?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think students can be thinking about, again, pulling back and thinking about what kind of family physician they want to become, because there is flexibility in this curriculum, you know, in this framework, so that programs will most likely be differentiating themselves within that framework, right? So instead of being told they need a certain number of months to do something, they have to assure competence and figure out what experiences they need for that. So programs, I think we will see programs shifting around a little bit and differentiating themselves. And in that differentiation, students can be a little bit more connoisseurs of what they are seeing in terms of the experiences they think they need to become the family physician they want to become. If that makes any sense, there'll be more differentiation between the programs. So I think that they can start looking at how the programs are changing with CBME. They can also see what the uptake is. I think it would be a very fair question when residents are going out on the students are going out on the interview trail about how CBME is being incorporated into their programs. That would be a very intelligent question to be asking in terms of what is your ILP? Everyone's going to have an ILP framework. What does that look like? I would ask people in the residency, residents and faculty, not just the program director, what does it feel like to have a competency-based medical education framework? How is that being introduced into your program? Because in that, they will see how they can engage and really become that family physician that they want to become. This is not meant to be, I've had some program directors say, the new ACGME requirements that went into effect in August say that we have six electives, right? And so our residents going to become kind of try to have a boutique experience and, you know, have all electives in things that aren't core to their learning. They're really not meant for that, right? They're meant so that residents can use that flexibility to really meet the gaps in their education. That's even for the most high-performing residents, right? So that they can self-identify the things that they need. So I think those are things that students and residents can be thinking about as they try to engage with CBME.
It reminds me of the old military slogan, be all you can be.
Oh, yeah.
And the optimism that it creates. And I love that. I really love that we are giving residents the opportunity to take control of this experience, to seek the guidance through the CBME pathway, to be all they can be. I think this is so important as we go forward. And the hidden pearl in the listening session was what you just gave the students as they're on the interview trail. What questions to ask? The highly intelligent question of what can I expect? They're going to love that. So thank you. Thank you for that. And so I'm just going to bring us to a close here. So much is coming. I'm popping my popcorn. I'm eating it, enjoying this show, this entertainment, and this journey that we are on now, because it is going to be exciting. And we are going to choose our own adventure in many ways as lifelong learners. So tell me this, what is next for CBME? You're saying we're about to hit that explosion period. What happens after the explosion and we settle in? How do we continue to build and layer on this education and our experience?
Okay, what's next? So some things are coming that I think will be helpful and add to the scholarship around CBME. So I want to mention those. So we have a handheld app that is coming out through STFM that will be available on our residency learning systems, MedHub, and New Innovations. So I think there will be, hopefully, its own explosion of use of that app that will be available to any user of those residency learning systems to do direct observations in a competency-based medical way that will map to the milestones and to the core outcomes so that reports can be generated. So that is coming, and that is next. We also have some new national guidelines that we have been working on, which are really meant to be best practices in CBME. And those will be coming out this spring, hopefully. It's been submitted for print, and we'll be talking about that at the national conferences. That will be a playbook, really, I think there are 14 best practices in introducing CBME into programs. And then we also have a pilot coming out. So we have, I think, up to 30 programs that are about to be chosen who have applied to be part of our CBME pilot, which will be run from, I think, June to June, June 24 to June 25, which will be having them do the app and do our standardized ILP and get some extra learning in CBME. And then we will be studying that. So we're going to we have an IRB approved study to look at like what really matters. What if you're using a thing, this or that, what really matters in CBME uptake? So really trying to get a little scholarship around this. So that'll help us settle in. I don't know if I can speak to what is exactly next. I see a good, I see where we're going in 10 years. The in-between will be the fun, interesting, and sometimes hard lift, right? I don't want to oversell that this will have its moments of really trying to do things like have more acceptance of direct observation, creating more curricular flexibility, really engaging residents in the process, which sounds fun, but you know, we also know as educators that can be hard. We need to figure out those systems. So there are some things that I consider bigger lifts, but I honestly think we will get there together if we keep working on it, keep giving programs really good tools, and if we have a little grace, a little patience, and we work together.
This truly is dream work, and it will certainly require a lift, as you mentioned. But how exciting. And what I'm hearing from you, Dr. Montgomery, is CBME, competence-based medical education, is here to stay. This is the next step on the journey, on this continuum, to create a better experience and to prepare family physicians to deliver the outcomes that our patients deserve, the quality of care, the quality of life that we all want. And as I approach the second half of my life, I am really grateful that this is the next generation of physicians who will be there to take care of all of us for sure. And the vision that will be created because of the groundwork that's been laid. So whether you are tapping into the handheld app, if you're learning about this, let's say at the National Conference for Medical Students and Residents in Kansas City, or one of the other meetings coming forward, this is exciting work. And I'm excited for the top 30 that are selected to participate in this initial pilot. We are going to learn so much from each other and continue to have iron sharpen iron, learn what works, and maybe learn what doesn't. But how exciting. And I'm so glad, Dr. Montgomery, that you were able to join us today as the chair of the CBME Task Force for the SCFM. And I can't wait to see what's next. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Saria. Thank you for this time this morning.
You've been listening to the SDFM podcast, produced by the Society of Teachers of Family Medicine. Visit us at sdfm.org and follow us on Twitter at sdfm_FM. This podcast is copyright Society of Teachers of Family Medicine 2024.